Morning, church.
It's patience. We've gone through love, joy, peace. Now we're on patience. Next in line in the fruit of the Spirit. And I've been chosen to speak to you on it. Now, there's a cosmic irony in God choosing me to present patience to this congregation. When Pastor Jim stepped down several weeks back, I guess it's almost several months back now, time really flies, but he said to me that they'd be looking for speakers and that they would like for me to take a week. And I was very much looking forward to the opportunity to share my heart with the church, to share some things that the Lord's been teaching me as of late. And then I found out we were going through the fruits of the Spirit. And immediately I said, well, I'm getting patience. And I didn't know what I was going to get at that time. None of the fruits were handed out. None of the dates were chosen yet. But I just had this gut feeling that it was going to happen. And I say that because God has a sense of humor. He has a tendency to force, especially in, at least in my life and in my experience, if there's something that he wants to work on in my life, he tends to put a magnifying glass on it. And what better way to put a magnifying glass on something than saying, you're going to be speaking on it in front of the congregation. So, why is patience something that I need to work on? Well, I'm your typical 27-year-old New Yorker, born and raised in New York, who's far too aggressive of a driver, and works in the city in construction. All that adds up to, I have struggled to live my life patiently. Whether that's in the societal sense of patience, in terms of waiting for the slow drivers in front of you, in terms of waiting in line, in terms of dealing with difficult people, I've struggled to have patience. And I've also struggled to have patience if we go into a biblical view of patience in terms of waiting on God's timing versus our own. Because in reality, that's what biblical patience boils down to. It's being able to have the faith in God to wait on Him instead of trying to bring things into our own timing and our own desires. And at the end of the day, that's what I really want to talk about today. I want to talk about patience, yes, but I want to talk about biblical patience. The idea that we need to trust in God's timing over our own timing. So with that, I want to open this up in prayer. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to come before the congregation and open up your word and for us to gather together in your name. I pray that as we go through this, that it is your will that is done, it is your desires, it is your words, it is your heart that is portrayed to the church, and that it is not my words or my will, but yours alone. Father God, I pray that you would open up the heart of everybody listening, whether it's here, whether it's online, or whether it's down the road through recording. Father God, I pray that you would open up their hearts. And I pray that you would have them hear what they need to hear, what you need them to hear, what they need to learn to grow into the people that you want them to be, to grow in their walk with you, to grow, know and be known by you better, Lord God. That they would be able to practice the fruit of patience and look more like you to those around them. This is in your good, great, and holy name I pray. Amen. Galatians 5:16-26. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. This is the word of the Lord. So as I was saying when I opened, I often struggle with patience, both in the biblical patient side and the society patient side. But with God's timing versus our timing, I want to go back a little further than my life. I want to go back to way back in the beginning of the Old Testament. I want to go to Father Abraham. And Father Abraham is someone who both succeeded at times in his life in living out God's timing, and he failed to live out patience to live in God's timing. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. It's a child song. We've all sung it or heard it sung. But have you ever thought about it? Many sons had Father Abraham. Abraham had two sons. One of them wasn't legitimate. He was promised descendants as numerous as the stars in heaven. And he had two kids. One wasn't legitimate. He did not see in his lifetime that promise of God. It happened in God's timing. Oh, absolutely it happened. But he never saw it. He was asked to live in faith and to wait patiently for God's promise. And for a while he did that. But we can see when his patience failed, when he lost faith that God's timing was the right timing, he slept with his wife's servant to bring forth his many children. And we see the damage that that caused himself, his wife, his now son of his wife's servant, and that child's mother. We see when he failed to practice patience in God's timing, it led to destruction. But when he practiced and trusted in God and God's timing, he was able to even have the faith to bring Isaac up to the mountain to be sacrificed. Now we all know God did not allow that to happen. That was a test of faith. But it required an incredible amount of faith in the timing of God to know that God will come through, that God has a plan for all things. We need to learn to live with that level of patience, with the patience to trust in God's timing above our own. But why is it considered a fruit of the Spirit? Yes, obviously it's beneficial, but why is it a fruit? Well, in reality, all the fruits work together. Pastor Steve talked last week about how the fruits build on one another. I would like to take that a step further and say all the fruits are already connected. It is one giant fruit salad. You cannot have some of the fruits. You cannot have half of the fruits. Yes, some of the fruits might be more evident in your lives, but you cannot be missing a fruit in reality. These fruits come together. And they work together. They work in concert, in unison with one another. And we see that throughout Scripture. We go to the 1 Corinthians 13:4 passage that our youth pastor Stephen spoke on several weeks back. It opens, and I'm just going to read the opening of it, with love is patient. Love and patience working together. If we look at Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. You know the joy that comes when you pray to God and you have the patience to wait for him to answer that prayer? When he answers that prayer, there's so much joy that comes, but you have to be able to wait patiently for his timing. Patience and joy. Proverbs 15:18. Hot tempers cause arguments, but patience brings peace. Patience and peace working together. Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Patience, gentleness, coupled together. Now, if you're more of a visual learner, if more imagery helps you, I'm right there with you. I oftentimes think through images or metaphors or similes, and I got one for you on this. So we're going to go to the body, the physical human body. And when you see athletes who get injured, it's oftentimes not the site of the injury that was the problem originally. You see people who have very bad knees, who have constant knee pain. And in reality, it's because they have weak ankles. They have weak ankles that have caused their bad knees. People who live with lower back pain, it's oftentimes because they have poor hip mobility, which has caused them to walk in a certain way or lift things in a certain way that puts more strain on their back, leading to an injury. You see people who have stiff necks. It's oftentimes because of a poor mobility, whether it's in their shoulders or in different areas of their upper back, that it leads to that neck issue. And the fruits of the spirit are no different. People might say you struggle in one area, but it's really because you're struggling in another. We oftentimes try to treat the outwardly visible problem, and we don't treat the cause. And so often the cause of lacking in one fruit is because we're lacking in another. We can lack in love because we're not patient. We can lack in self-control because we don't have the ability to wait on God's timing for the things that we have desires for. We try to take it in our own timing. We try to do things in our own timing, and that we have no self-control because we cannot wait. We cannot practice patience. The whole body needs to work together to stay healthy, and patience is just one of those joints. So we're going to move on. We're going to go to patience and its benefits. We know patience has the benefit of helping us to better live the other fruits. But what other benefits does patience have on its own? Well, patience helps us stand out. How much different would you look in your office space, in your social circle, when you're driving around in the car with someone, if you were able to practice biblical patience? If you were able to, when somebody was taking too long on a report, to be patient and gentle with them as you approach them on that. If when you're driving in the car, someone's driving 42 and 40, and you're just okay with being stuck behind them and not freaking out or not yelling at them or not tailgating them, the person next to you is going to look at you and say, wow, there's some patience there. That's awesome. You know, when you can treat a child with grace and patience when they're trying to wrestle through something, people are going to look at you and say, wow, that's amazing. And they might ask you, you know, why are you so different? Why are you able to have patience with, you know, X coworker or Y person or Z cashier at you know, the grocery store? How are you able to do that? Well, it opens the door for you to say, I have a strength that's not my own. I know a God who has given me the ability, who has given me the fruits of his spirit to be able to practice loving patience towards others. Patience can also keep us from making mistakes. How many times in your life have you wanted to do something because you were in a bad mood or somebody wronged you and you just wanted to act, but you waited. You said, no, I'm going to sit back. I'm going to give this time. And you realize if you had gone with your gut decision, it would have been disastrous. But practicing patience in your response saved you from making a big mistake. In the book we were reading as a church on the fruits of the Spirit, I don't know how everyone's reading it, but I know some people are, and we've kind of been using it to help us with these talks. Jerry Bridges goes and says at one point, patience is used to provide a godly reaction in a variety of situations. And that's just what it is. It helps you look different from the rest of the world when you can react with a godly reaction in a variety of situations when others fail to do so. It helps us stand out. Patience also keeps us from worldly things. If we go back to our Galatians passages that we opened with and just look at a few of the things that are desires of the flesh which are against the spirit, we can see this. We can see it in sexual immorality, impurity, and sensuality. What are these if not just taking the gifts of God and perverting them? Trying to bring them out of God's timing and plan and into our own? If we don't have patience to wait for God's gifts, we are likely to pervert them in order to have them in our own timing. If we look at idolatry, envy, and anger, again, how much would approaching people and difficult situations with patience stop you from idolizing their state in life if you understood that God has a great plan for me and he will bring great things into my life? I don't need to idolize what they have. I don't need to envy that relationship because I don't have it yet. This one hits me hard because I've always desired to be married. Most of my peers are married. Most of my good friends are married, and I have not given that gift yet. And if I can't practice the patience in God's timing, if that's what he has for me, if I can't wait on that, but look at others with envy because they have it now, that's going to cause problems in those relationships. If someone's frustrating me with how they address situations, with how they talk, with how things are going, I'm gonna respond with anger if I can't respond with patience. I need to learn to respond with patience and not anger. Benefit of patience is it will help keep us from any of the desires of the flesh. So we see the benefits of patience, but what does it look like? What does patience look like in practice? Well, I think there's two major ways that it comes out. One is active patience, and one is passive patience. What is active patience? Well, I'm going to go back to another image. I'm going to use another bit of imagery, another metaphor, simile, whatever you want to call it. And we're going to go with another fitness one. I want you to think about working out or going for a run or eating healthy. You know, this is something you're just starting. You woke up on Saturday morning and you said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get in better shape. I'm going to get stronger. I'm going to get leaner. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to do it. So you do it. You know, you eat that salad instead of that burger. You go and get that gym membership, and they had a great workout in. You go for your first run. There's some walking mixed in, but you go for your first run, and you get back, and yeah, you're excited. You're like, yeah, I'm feeling great about myself. But you look in the mirror, and there's no change. You do it for a week. You look in the mirror. There's no change, and you say, this isn't working. No, it's not that it's not working. It's that you don't have the patience for it to work. Some things take time, and we need to work during that time. We need to work in the waiting. We need to work patiently to see the results. Some scriptures about this. We see Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let us not become weary in doing good. Let's work in the waiting. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest. God's timing, we will reap a harvest if we continue to work in the waiting. 2 Chronicles 15:7. But as for you, be strong and do not give up. Your work will be rewarded. Do not give up. Your work will be rewarded. Working in the waiting. So what are some places working in the waiting might be the right decision? Well, I think oftentimes with the sin struggle in our lives that we have been fighting against and fighting against and fighting against, well, we can't just sit back and say, all right, well, it's just going to either go away or it's not going to go away. You know, I'll just wait and see what happens. No, we need to, yes, wait for God to finish that work in us, but we need to work through that. There are often things that God is trying to work out in our own lives as we are working through problems. And he doesn't want us to just sit back, but he wants us to act. And he wants us to work. And we need to work in the waiting. And that is really what active patience boils down to. It is working in the waiting. Passive patience. Well, the metaphor for passive patience I'm going to give you is driving in the car. It's not just driving in the car, but it's you're driving and you're late. You're late to church this morning because you didn't realize it was daylight savings. You're late to big meeting. You're late to catch your train. You're late for the plane. You're running late, and you're hitting the red light, and you're hitting the red light, and you're hitting every single red light. And what's the thing about red lights? At a red light, you can't make any forward progress, right? You can pretend you are. You know, you can move up that little half a tire roll every few seconds. You know, feel like you're moving forward, but in reality, you can make no real forward progress. And if you try to make forward progress at a red light, you are just putting yourself and others at risk. And that really is the thing with passive patience. Passive patience is the type of patience that if you don't practice it, you're putting others at risk by not being able to wait, by not being able to be patient. We see this in relationships. How often in a relationship do you hear someone talking about something and you immediately try to fix it? You immediately try to solve it right away. Boom. Oh, you're going through that? Here's how you do it. Oh, we're going through that? Here's how you fix it. No. Church, please. Sometimes we need to sit and we need to wait patiently for people to talk and think through things. We need them to wrestle through things, and they just are needing us to be patient with them and listen. Trying to be actively patient in these situations can be damaging to all parties involved when they're not ready to take that next step forward. They need to work through it first. Practice passive patience in your relationships when that is needed. Think about the times in your life when you have been struggling with something and someone has just listened. They haven't tried to fix it. They haven't tried to have that magical solution. They have just listened and allow you to process. That is such a gift. Give it to others. Passive patience is also so useful in things that just take time. Things that we can't do anything about. Things that there's no work that can be done. It just takes time. I heard a phrase recently, and the phrase is, 9 women can't make a baby in a month. Guess what? It's going to take 9 months to have a kid. Having 9 women be pregnant for a month is not going to produce a baby. It's not going to happen. There's some things you just can't throw more money at, more people at, more resources at. Some things you can't just force to happen. They're just going to take time, and you need to be okay with that and trust in the Lord. Psalm 37:7 is a great passage for passive patience. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. We need to learn that there are times we must be still before the Lord. Passive patience trusts in the waiting. Now, briefly, I do want to say we can have wrongful or wasted patience. There are relationships in our lives we should not be waiting on. There are goals in our lives we should not be patient towards. The big one with wrongful patience is sin, is unrepentant sins. We should never be patient towards unrepentant sins. We must immediately seek to rid them from in our lives. We must immediately seek to be free from unrepentant sin and turn away. Sometimes we need to act. Do not allow patience to be an excuse to not act when action is required. Don't allow it to be your reason. Like, oh no, I'm just waiting. I know I should do that now, but I'm waiting and seeing what happens. We know there are times we must act. And if we don't know whether we should act or wait, that's when we need to pray. That's when we need to spend time in the Word. And that's when we need to reach out to our community for advice. James 4:17 says, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. If you know you shouldn't wait, don't use patience as an excuse. Can we move on to what patience requires? We've talked about the benefits of patience. We talked about what patience looks like in action. But how do we have it? How do we practice patience? Well, it requires faith. What is faith? Well, according to scriptures, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We see faith and patience working together throughout scripture. I think of a young David waiting patiently for his time to be king. If he didn't have any patience with that, if he said, I know God's going to have me be king, and I don't want to wait anymore, and he just went ahead and deposed of Saul, it would have gone a lot. It would not have went nearly as smooth for David in those early years. It would have been a lot more difficult for him. He would have brought a lot of difficulties onto his own life if he did not have that faith that God was going to fulfill his promise to make him king. He waited patiently because he had the faith. Noah. You know, we don't often talk about Noah, but Noah built that ark for a very long time. He worked in the waiting for that flood, even though there was no sign of it coming. He was ridiculed and ridiculed, but he was patiently working, saying, I know it's coming in God's timing, and I'm going to work and work and work and work, so I'm ready when it does. Noah worked in the waiting because of his faith. Paul, let's go New Testament. Paul showed his faith by continually preaching the word despite the trials he faced, whether it was being shipwrecked or put in prison or beaten. And when he faced those trials, he patiently dealt with them. He did not freak out or overreact, but he said, no, I trust in God's timing. I trust in God's plan. I trust that if I just follow him and put my faith in him, it's all going to work out. And he was able to work with patience despite the many trials that he faced. All three of these, and many more biblical heroes, practiced patience, but all relied on their faith in God to do so. And that very God is what I want to talk about next. The very one who gives us these gifts and how he himself practiced them in his time here on earth. Christ was patient. Oh, was he patient? He had 12 disciples and numerous other followers that no matter how many times he said something, they just didn't seem to get it. Sometimes there were little deaths, and he just still practiced patience with them. He still loved on them. People around him were misinterpreting the old law. And yes, he rebuked them. But he was still patient with so many who were struggling. He waited 30 years to begin his ministry. Who here would wait 30 years to begin something you know God is calling you to do because you were waiting for his timing to be right? He waited on the cross. The patience of Jesus on the cross in love is the perfect intersection of patience and love. He sat there in that pain, knowing he needed to wait for it to be completed, for it to be finished, before he was ever removed from that cross. He could have gotten himself down before it was all done, but no, he knew he needed to wait patiently. And to take it a step further, he waits for us to this day. He's waiting for all of you to this day. If you don't know him, he's waiting behind the door for you to come to him. Can we go to the next slide, please? Matthew 7:7-8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. For those who seek, find. For the one who knocks, it will be opened. Jesus, the one who died on the cross for your sins, the one who is waiting for you to come to him so that he can forgive you and cleanse you of all of your sins. He's waiting patiently behind that door, waiting for you to knock, waiting for you to seek. The very one that gives us the ability to be patient is patiently waiting for us, and he will work out all things in his timing. So come to him now while the timing is still there. And if you don't know what that means, if you don't know what it means to be saved, what salvation means, what we're talking about when I'm saying all of this, if you don't know what it means to be forgiven of your sins because of Christ's work on the cross, I ask you to find myself or an elder or somebody you came to church with today, or Pastor Stephen who gave the announcements today, or whoever it is, find someone you trust who knows the Lord and ask them what I'm talking about with this. Please, if the Lord is reaching out to your heart tonight or this morning, don't close that door. But knock, seek back after him. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish. Again, not wishing that any should perish. He's waiting for you patiently, but that all should reach repentance. Christ is waiting for you. Seek after him. Now, as somebody who leads small groups regularly, who's been leading small groups for probably close to 10 years now, I can't end without doing some application. So we're briefly just going to run through some applications on how we can live patiently. And I'm going to challenge you, church. Please, please, please do not walk out of here saying, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to drive like less of a New Yorker. Because one, that means there's going to be more slow drivers on the road, and that's going to annoy me. But in reality, I just want you guys to think bigger. It's a great thing if we try to practice more patience behind the wheel, and I myself need to do that. And I think I'm going to challenge myself to do that. But I'm also going to challenge myself, and I'm going to challenge you guys, to think bigger on patience. Think bigger than being patient behind the wheel. I want you to find those relationships. When do you find those struggles in your life? Those things that you want, you're trying to make happen right now, but God's saying, wait. I want you to pray on those things and say to yourself and pray to God, saying, how can I be more patient with them? How can I practice more grace with those people? That with that person that really annoys me, how can I be patient with them? How can I be patient in waiting for that thing that I really desire, but God hasn't given me yet? And there are ways that I can sort of get that thing in my own way that's like halfway there, but how can I just be patient to say, no, I'm going to wait in God's timing? Reach out into community and have those conversations with those you're close with on the things in your life that you need to wait patiently on. Pray and read scripture, asking God to show you those areas and asking him to help you have patience, to give you the strength, to give you the courage, to give you the grace to live patiently. Me and my friends often joke that we should not pray for patience, because if you pray for patience, God's going to give you chances to be patient. And I think right there shows the exact problem with our joke. We should seek opportunities to be patient, because being patient shows that the fruit of the Spirit is alive and well within us. So brothers and sisters, pray for patience. Live it out in love. Trust in God's timing and not your own. Do not ever give up before you get there. Have patience in God's plan and in his work. Remember, his timing is perfect. So let's look differently from society. Let's have patience. Stand, if you can, as I give you a parting benediction. This benediction has been famous throughout the church for a long time. It's been recently been made a little bit more famous by someone at Calvin Theological Seminary, Neil Plantinga Jr. And it's just it's a beautiful example of God's character and what I wish for you guys to see of him over yourselves. May God go before you to lead you, behind you to protect you, beneath you to sustain you, and beside you to befriend you. Do not be afraid. May the blessings of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be upon you. Do not be afraid, but go in peace and patience to love and serve the Lord.